Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Spiritual Unity Radio Network, a station dedicated to the concept that all manifestations of the divine are equally valid. Join Reverend Terry Power HP, Lord Onyx, and all the hosts 7 nights a week for programming covering a wide range of spiritual topics right here on Blog Talk Radio. Spiritual wellness and physical health with your hosts Robin A. McKean and Lisa Ripple. This show focuses on helping you integrate your spiritual wellness, your physical body, and your emotional health. We talk about fueling your soul and inner self, as well as the right food to fuel your body.
And now, here's Robin and Lisa.
And hello, and good evening. This is Physical Wellness and Spiritual Health, and I am your host, Robin McKean. And tonight, unfortunately, Lee will not be with us. Again, she's still recovering from her surgery, and I'm hoping to get her back here shortly. But we shall see what happens. But tonight, we do have some my good friends. Niv is here this evening filling in for Lisa. And then also this evening we've got Marcy Munden. We're going to be talking about menopause and pagans who face menopause, us pagan women. And in some regards, you know, men too, they have to deal with it. So I just thought I would have the ladies on and we can sit and talk. So everybody grab a hot cup of tea or coffee or glass of wine if you prefer. And come on and sit down and chat with us this evening. And if you'd like to join in the conversation, you do know that you can call in at 646-564-9714, and if you wait for the Blog Talk Radio intro to come on, when you hear it, and then you press the one key on your phone, that will alert the engineer that you'd like to say something or ask us a question, and we'll be more than happy to have you on the air with us. Okay, so what have I got here? The engineer is flashing something. Okay.
I'm Marcy.
Everything I did wrong, but anyway. Ladies, are you there?
Yes, ma'am.
Absolutely.
Hi. Okay.
Hi, Marcy.
Hi.
Hey, Niv.
Niv, as some of you may or may not know, is kind of our assistant station manager. She's involved in the procurement of talent. Ooh.
Ooh.
She's always around to help.
I got
yeah,
a new. Ooh, the fingers run together.
Mm-hmm.
What? I don't. I know people.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It helps to get them in here so we can peddle their wares.
That's
so,
it. Exactly. Exactly. And Marcy, why don't you, for some of the people who may not have been listening previously, when you've been on the show, why don't you give us a quick bio?
Oh, Lordy. Don't you have something you can read for this? Well, I was a massage therapist up in New Jersey for 15 years, where I was also part of an organization with Robin and a few other people, Lee being one of them.
Mm-hmm.
And we ran a festival up there, and that was pretty much my indoctrination into the whole pagan world, and a fine one it was. And so I was a massage therapist for 15 years. I've been studying the pagan path for 14 years, and actually before then, but, you know, it was more kind of on the side, not really right up in my faith. And now I'm a nurse. And I go live in Florida. I go to festivals down here when I have the time to do so. And I've raised 4 children. I have a 4th grandchild on the way. I am 52 years old, and I've been in menopause for approximately 1.5, 2 years. And it was actually the topic of much drunken bantering at FPG with my menopausal pagan lady friends.
Yeah.
So that's it in a nutshell. Anything else you want to know?
No, I think that's it.
Okay.
All right, well, then that's the show for this evening. So, see you now. Just kidding. So, Marcy, first of all, why don't you tell us a little bit about Florida Pagan Gathering, since you were just there.
Florida Pagan Gathering, yes. They hold that twice a year down in Lake Wales, Florida. It is, they have a gathering at Samhain, and they have a gathering for Beltane. It is one of the longest running, I believe, around the country. I think this was their 30th year or 29th, something like that. I don't remember what the thing said. But they've been doing it a really, really long time.
Yeah.
And they have a wonderful staff. They usually have some wonderful headliners. This year it was Aaron Leach. I'm not sure how to pronounce his name. He is a practitioner of high magic, if I'm not mistaken. And Moira was there. Spiral Dance played twice.
Cool.
And of course the various other, you know, workshops, and you know, Grey Ghost Talk was there, and he and Danella did sweat lodges, one for the men and one for the women. I actually got to participate in building the lodge this year.
Cool.
Which was wonderful. And but it's a wonderful gathering, and it's in a beautiful, beautiful place. They've got acres and acres of camping space and different camps. They do have cabins and lodges. So for the people that aren't able to do the primitive camping, they have lodges that have, some of them have kitchen facilities, some, and all of them have bathroom. There is also a swimming pool that's open for about 5 or 6 hours a day with a lifeguard. There are porta potties, but there are also regular plumbing and showers. They have their own cafeteria, their own kitchen where they do all the cooking. You can buy into the meal plan. And for the quality of the gathering that you get, the price is quite low. I got in on Wednesday, didn't leave till Sunday, and as far as I'm concerned, it's very reasonable.
Excellent.
And it's just beautiful. The weather was great. We didn't get any rain until Saturday night, and that was due to one of our menopausal women who decided to have a talk with the thunder beings. So, yeah, but that's okay because it just gave us an excuse to get naked in the rain.
There you go.
Sounds like fun.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so one of the things that I think is a myth. I'll ask you guys, what do you think are some of the myths surrounding menopause that probably need to be corrected?
Well, I can think of one right off the top of my head.
Okay.
For a lot of women, especially non-pagan women, they have a feeling that it's the end of their womanhood.
Yeah.
And as far as
that,
yeah, that's a very big one. It's just, that's just way not true as far as I'm concerned. What do you think, Niv?
Well, I was 27 when I went into menopause. Well, I had a surgical hysterectomy, but I paid for it later. You still go through it even though you've been surgically removed of the uterus.
Right.
I'm not really. No, it actually gets better after you get through it. Life does get better. You go through the physical changes, but you don't end anything. If anything, it opens up more doors. That's how I look at it.
Right.
You know, well, you're. Go ahead, Robin.
Well, I was going to say that it's unfortunate that in our culture, especially here in the United States, we have a sense that once people, women, get to a certain numerical age, and all of a sudden now they're also going through menopause, that their life has lost value in some way,
mm-hmm.
And it is so not true, and I'm not really sure why it became a societal precept or concept that, well, once you go through menopause, you're less useful. The only thing you can't do anymore is bear children. And in a lot of ways, that allows you to be more creative, more cerebral, gives you, confidence in certain regards, and certainly makes the enjoyment of sex a lot for a lot of women. Just wow! All of a sudden, now I don't have to worry about getting pregnant anymore. This is awesome.
Uh-huh.
It is.
it
is.
And so, yeah. And so, I'm not really sure how it got turned into something not positive.
Well, I think. I think actually a big part of that is we got so far away from, generally speaking, as a society, we got so removed from spirit and became so superficial that, it's young and pretty and shiny.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And
yeah.
I think we stopped valuing that wisdom that comes from being the crone and being out of the childbearing years.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a big, big part of it.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it seems that in our culture, in particular, we don't value any of the experience and wisdom that comes with age. Rather,
mm-hmm.
we try to kind of, tuck it away and ignore it and not have to face it. And I think as a culture, we don't want to see ourselves getting older. We don't want to accept it. And so rather than have to face that reality, we sort of tuck it away and hope that, you'll have enough money and be healthy enough to live out a long life. But nobody plans really well for that stage of their life. You hear all the time about men who, when they retire from doing their job, whatever it is, go through a huge emotional crisis because who are they now? They get into this thing in our culture where they are what they do for a living. So whether you're a guy who pumps gas or a lawyer or, a doctor or an IT guy at work, that's who you are. And when you stop working, then who am I now? Because I don't work anymore.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so for women, the correlation there is that once you go through menopause and you can't bear children anymore, what becomes your purpose in life?
Right.
Are you? And it's funny because they've done some research in these blue zones. This is the National Geographic years ago did an article about what they deemed to be called blue zones, which were areas of the world where people routinely live to be over 100.
Right.
And women in general live to be over 100 more frequently than men. And part of this is the mindset that even though we get through through menopause and we get older, women have this purpose in the family of nurturing and loving children. Even if they're their grandchildren, their great-grandchildren, it's our purpose.
Mm-hmm.
And they found that that's a very important thing, is to have a reason to wake up in the morning.
Oh, yeah.
To continue to feel purposeful.
That's our culture, too, though.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that is their culture. Unfortunately, that really doesn't apply mm-hmm. to European and Americas.
Mm-hmm.
That's really not their culture any longer.
Yeah.
Once someone of normal circumstances begin their menopausal travels, they don't necessarily, or adventure, I guess you'd call it. I really don't think that it's quote unquote our job to take care of the next generation or the generation beyond that. I think for 40 years we are capable of having children, and all of a sudden, it's not really all of a sudden, but that declines and you're not able to, that doesn't necessarily mean that that's your job to take care of your grandchildren or the next
mm-hmm.
generation down. I mean, I just don't see that. We have to find out who we are now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of times if you don't have a focus, you're never going to find out.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah,
it's not your whole world. Mm-hmm. It can't be.
Well, in the study, these women that they talked to specifically were from Osaka, Japan. And when they asked these women, you know, how had they managed to live this long, universally they all said the same thing, that they continued to have a purpose inside their family and extended family to love and nurture people inside
mm-hmm.
their family,
mm-hmm.
Whether it be children or their own children or, you know, the children of their best friend. And they have a very different societal organization than we do here. In Japan, when you're born and you live in a little village, let's say there are three or four or five other kids who are just around your same age in that little village, they assign you to this sort of pod, and you go through these people through your entire life, and you remain friends with these people, these four or five people, through your whole life. And they found that this was very important to successful long life, is feeling
mm-hmm.
this great, you know, feeling of acceptance, of belonging, of having friends, of having a social outlet no matter what. So there aren't any awkwardly social geeks, outsiders in Japan. They don't allow that in their culture. Everybody is bonded to, you know, these other few, three or four or five people, which if you think about
mm-hmm.
it, is really beautiful, because they accept
yeah,
you for who you are from the
yeah.
time you're in preschool.
Yep. That's
oh, I agree. You probably have automatic grandmas.
Mm-hmm.
Meaning,
yeah.
You know, automatic. You have four or five grandmas, and that'd be awesome.
Mm-hmm.
You just couldn't do anything without getting caught and told on, but okay.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, but at least you got a better chance of not being stuck with one that's an alcoholic. So,
mm-hmm.
yep, yep.
You know what
yep,
I mean?
I mean,
that's one way of looking at it.
Yeah. Yeah, this is true. Although I wouldn't give up my alcoholic grandmother for anything, for all the world. She was.
Yeah,
she was,
but there was a world of difference. There was a world of difference between your grandma and my grandma.
Well, yeah, this is true. Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, I think we're heading along the same lines as your grandma.
Yes, yes.
As my grandma was selling it to them. I know.
Yeah. As soon as I get to be a little bit older, I will be more than happy to give people, Marcy, your phone number if they need to call somebody to get me off the bar naked.
Oh, there you go. I'll be there, honey.
She's dancing
there.
Naked on the bar again, Marcy. You better come get her.
Oh, okay. Then I'll get there and we'll both be dancing naked
there
on the
go.
Bar.
We all have each other's number tattooed to our ankle.
That's it. Call the number on my ankle. For Marcy. She'll come get me.
I made up, I was jotting down some notes after we talked earlier.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that I hope we can touch on, and which is a unique experience, and Robin, I was thinking about you, is being in that menopausal stage and having a young child.
Mm, yeah.
How do you deal with that?
Oh, God, a lot of sleep.
What was
well,
I thinking? No, I don't think so.
I love being a mom. I really just
I know.
Do. And I waited a long time to be a mom. And I'm very lucky. My daughter is really a good kid for the most part. She doesn't...
Oh, hell yeah.
You know, she's just really easy to handle. But, yeah, I definitely don't have as much energy as, say, a 20-something. You know, you guys know this. I put her to bed at 9 o'clock and fall asleep with her. And then Terry's calling me at, like, 9:30, 9:40 going, wake up, it's time for your show. Because if I don't get that little 30-40 minute nap, I'm shot at that time of night, and then I'll be shot in the morning if you know when I get up at 6 a.m. to get all the kids to school.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. I'll be.
You get up before the chickens do anyway, so.
Yeah.
You're allowed
yeah.
to have the nap.
Yeah. But yeah, sometimes it presents its challenges. Probably the worst challenges are, you know, doing things like going to the school and the other mothers start calling me, you know, her grandmother. You know, you must
oh,
be her grandmother.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I'm not her grandmother. I'm her mother, you know. So that's a little bit. But it is becoming more common that there are women in my age or close to my age who are having their children.
Right.
One of her best friends, her mother is a year younger than me.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we're right in the same age group, and there are a few other women who are in their 50s with 9-year-olds. So,
right.
I don't feel quite
God
as alone
you.
As I did when she was in kindergarten, which was... Ugh.
My sister is the same way. I mean, my niece used to say, oh, Mom, you know, at least color your hair. And so my sister did to comply, but even now she's like, I don't even know what for because it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
You know, my sister's on the health board there at school. She's involved with everything that child's involved with and probably can run circles around the 20-year-olds.
Mm-hmm.
And I only say that because she's lived a little bit longer, learned a little bit more about herself,
mm-hmm.
and prepared herself to be a mother late in life.
Yeah.
Well, I will say that I think it has made me a more thoughtful mother because I've learned a lot of lessons of my own life first and am able to impart that knowledge in a more constructive way. I see other
mm-hmm.
women who are younger who are trying to tell their kids the same things I tell Persephone, but going about it in a less constructive manner. And the kids aren't getting it or the kids are rebelling against it because
mm-hmm.
it's not coming across in the way in which I think the moms are trying to get it across. You know, you learn patience. You learn moderation as you get older. And I don't really think I lose my patience more quickly, but I am more quick to get to the meat of the matter. Here is what we're going to be doing, you know. This is how it's going to be, as opposed to sometimes
God,
I see.
Spoken. Boof.
Yeah, exactly. And sometimes I see other moms.
But you also correct it a little bit. It in your 20s, like I was with my first one. I was exactly 20. It was no, and there was no reason given. It was just no.
Mm-hmm.
And now that you know, I look back and go, man, no wonder my kids. Think I was a wicked witch
mm-hmm.
because I didn't have those lessons. My
yeah.
mother was young when she had me, so my grandmother raised me, and then she would explain, no means blah, 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 blah. These
mm-hmm.
are the consequences, whereas my mom just went, no. So, and I just repeated what I thought was right.
Right.
You know, so when you have a matured mother as opposed to a young mother, at least that matured mother is going to give you a reason.
Yeah. Well, also, I think there's a certain modicum of knowledge. You know, here I am. I have a daughter. She's 9. And I can remember being a kid and just being mystified by certain things. Like my mom's thing about boys when I was, you know, 14, 15 was, you know, boys just want one thing. I don't know what that means. That was like some non sequitur just hanging out there in the air, you know, as a 14-year-old,
yeah.
Like, okay, what is it, like, you know, a cherry popsicle? What is it that they want? I don't understand what you're talking about, you know? Really, I had no clue what she was talking about at that time. Mm-hmm. And so it taught me to communicate more effectively. The other thing she did was she talked a lot in parables. You know, I can't think of it one off the top of my head, but there were always little stories or anecdotes to go along with the point she was trying to make that didn't make any frickin' sense to me. It's like, can't you just tell me what it is you're trying to tell me instead of pussyfooting around? So,
right, right.
You know, I'm way more direct with Persephone, and I think that she's going to benefit from the candor and the knowledge. Like some of her little friends, she's 9 and 10-year-olds, are starting to have their period. Well, a couple of them have no clue what it is, and a couple of them there have been issues where, you know, oh, mommy, you know, my friend so and so went home because she was all crying and she was upset, but I told her she was bleeding, and I told her she probably just was getting her period and it wasn't a big deal, but she didn't know what that was. How could she not know what that is?
Because her mother didn't explain it to her.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So you know, I think
you have to. By the time they're 8 or 9, you need to at least introduce it, you know.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think our duty as parents, as mothers of little girls, is to present it in a positive light and not hide it and not make them feel like this is a horrible thing. Just like you're talking about menopause, you know, the natural decline of your hormones and things in your body and the cessation of menstruation shouldn't be looked at as something horrible.
Right.
Well, it should
right.
be celebrated
like
for what it is.
Like they did pregnancy or anything else. If that's the way that they're going to look at it, unfortunately, the child's not going to progress beyond, oh, my God, I've got my period and I cannot go out with you guys tonight. You know?
Oh, you know, I remember... I was like four, I was like 14, I think, and I remember thinking like this was a death sentence for the rest of my life. It was going to happen to me every month. Oh my God, you know, this is awful. Why me? I clearly remember that being a young girl.
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
And no.
Because nobody ever presented it to me in any other way other than, oh my gosh, look, this is going to happen to you every month for the rest of your life.
Yeah.
And it was just sort of overwhelming at that time. And nobody explained to me what it was about, what it was for, or why it was happening. It was just, look, this bleeding thing is going to happen once a month. Get used to it, you know?
Because it lasts forever.
Yeah, exactly. And that was exactly how it was presented to me. I was like, oh my God.
I was 12.
We don't have to worry about that anymore.
And it's just the reverse. You know, we don't realize when we're, you know, young and we're about to start our cycles what's going on because we're moody and we're crabby. And a lot of people don't actually really realize that's going on because from the age of 9 to about 13, back in my day, that's when the normal process began. That's when you were, you know, showing these signs and people just said, oh, she's just moody, blah, 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 you know. Sorry, it's my moody child. Well, not necessarily because at 12 is when I started my first cycle and I was considered a late bloomer. Well, wait a minute. I'm within normal ranges, just like my friends were too, but for whatever reason, because I was so tall, I guess, I don't know.
Mm.
You know, they treat you different when you're taller. They really do. You're older than what you are. It's like, really? I'm still 12. But when you go through that process, you know, when you're first time, all of a sudden now mom's going to throw a party. She's calling up everybody. But then... when we're going through menopause down the line going the opposite direction, I don't hear any of my friends calling me up, hey, we're having a menopause party. Why don't we do that?
Ooh,
well,
good
you
idea.
Know, but seriously, You know, we should embrace that. I mean, margarita night all the way through, or, you know, eating grapes and having a blast, you know. It must be something, because we're going through, you know, we just were preparing to be able to make babies, and now we made the babies, and now they're all grown up, and we ain't making more babies. And that's
Thank
fine.
God.
That's absolute fine. So we should be partying about this. This is
a great step
in your life.
Yeah, we could throw a party. We invite Lisa, and we say to her, hey, help us find different uses for these. Crafting with tampons. That would say make good Christmas ornaments. I'm sure she could find a way to dye them and make them, you know, look pretty and hang them on the tree or something.
So don't come here.
Yeah,
because
I'll
she's,
anybody
she's
can
a
do
crafting goddess, right?
That's
too funny. But why not? I mean, you know, we went through life. Everybody celebrated when we had a baby. Okay, yippee-ki-yay. Baby graduated high school. Yippee-ki-yay. Went on through college. Mama don't make babies no more. Woo-hoo! You know?
Yeah. Well, yeah.
And enjoy your life. You know?
Yeah. Well, you know, I truly do believe that the big occasions in one's life should be celebrated. When a young girl gets her period, there should be an acknowledgement by the women in her life that, wow, you know, you've joined the baby making, you know, years, and it should be celebrated, and there should be some sort of acknowledgement, explanation, respect this power, you know, speech, party, whatever, and again, you know. When you do go through menopause, here's what I've learned. Passing down the knowledge. And there's all too little of that today, whether it's inside the pagan community or not. It just doesn't happen enough.
It doesn't.
It's actually one of the conversations I've been having with Jackie. I've been trying to talk her into either, you know, come on, let's write a book, let's put together the coven materials, your teaching materials, let's get you on the air, let's record what you want to talk about, because there are so many people out there passing down knowledge and passing it off as accurate, and it's not.
Mm-hmm.
It's nonsense.
One of our previous HPSs of that coven used to teach classes of, and she called them women mysteries. And unfortunately, I don't think she's capable of doing that any longer, but I do know that even down here, that I'm 2 or 3 hours away from where those classes were given. Over those years that she did that, I am still getting feedback from it. It's like, yeah, I know who she is. Yes, I'm aware. Yes. But this is 15 years later.
Yeah.
They are still talking about her classes. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, you know, you almost want to pull her off her rocking chair and go, here you go, honey. You need to tell them again, because they're still talking about it. It's still fresh in their minds, but they've forgotten a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
So that's where Jackie knows all of, she attended so many of those classes.
Mm-hmm.
And it is important. I mean, women's mysteries aren't really a mystery.
Right.
They really aren't. No different than a man going through, and they go through their changes as well.
Yeah, sure.
You know, granted, we're the ones that are the loudest because, you know, they disappear, but, oh, my God, she's on one of her moods, and poof, they're gone. But most of them do, and a lot of them do. A lot of divorces happen during the early stages of menopause. It's because they can't handle it. They can't handle, you know, it's a lot of stress. It is a lot of stress. Especially women that have been married 20, 30 years, and all this, you know, they get married really young, and they're with that same partner, and then she goes through menopause, and he goes, holy cow, she's turned into a monster, you know. And if she doesn't get the right therapy for her body, and she has to recognize it, go to talk to her doctor. You know, talk to your girlfriends. Talk to everybody and anybody that can help you, because you don't have to be on go ahead. I'm sorry. I don't.
That's okay. No, I was going to say that's to me that's one of the big points about menopause is, you know, we're in a position where we're older, we're a little wiser, we're hopefully a lot more self-actualized. So
mm-hmm.
I think if we're embracing menopause and letting it flow, I think it makes it easier for the people around us, our family and friends, to deal with this. I mean, I had a situation over the weekend at FPG, and I woke up from a nap, and I woke up kind of overly sensitive, I think. And before the nap, I got overly sensitive about something, and I wasn't sure if it was really meant the way it was said or if it was just me taking it the wrong way, because I know that I can do that at times when I get
mm-hmm.
when the hormones kick up and I get
mm-hmm.
overly sensitive. So I removed myself, you know, and I just went away. I laid in my tent for a while, and you know, and I had a little cry, and I felt much better, and you know, it could have gone so far in the other direction if
yeah.
I would have stayed out in the crowd of people and taken offense to what was said
mm-hmm.
that probably was not meant the way I heard it.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So I think that self-actualization is a big
yes.
part of helping the people around us that love us and spend a lot of time with us
mm-hmm.
to help them deal with it as well. Hey,
yeah.
you know what? I just need to remove myself for a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
I'll let you know if I need you. You know, I'll let you know if I need you. I'm just going to step back, you know,
yep.
and I think that's very important. And that only comes with embracing this phase of our life.
Yeah. Yep.
You know, we really need to embrace it.
Yep. Speaking of taking a break, we do need to take our song break. We're about 7 minutes late.
Okay.
Yeah, my fault. So tonight, tonight's
ooh,
song.
You're gonna get a beat-in.
I know, right? Tonight's song is by Jenna Green, and the song is Lady Moon, and we'll be listening to that. But before we go to the break, I just want to say when we come back, why don't we talk about we as pagan women inside our community? What can we do to assist in the change of attitude toward menopause and toward this part of our life for women who are younger than ourselves who haven't quite reached there and look at it with fear? Because I know there are women out there who really look at menopause and are fearful of it. I hear it all the time from younger women. You know, they think there's some horrible change that takes place
right.
physically, like, you know, all of a sudden you're you know, not who you were 15 minutes ago. You know,
mm-hmm.
so it's like somebody snaps their fingers. Okay, you are now going through menopause, and you are not the person you were 15 minutes ago. So we'll talk about that after the break. And so here is Jenna Green with the song "Lady Moon."
Pounding in my head, not knowing exactly what I fear, but feeling its dread. Dogma shouts behind me as I feel the shackles break. My destiny is now mine to make. Still fighting battles in my head of a past that's so long gone. Through pain and perseverance, my freedom has been won. odd enchantment now pulls me here into this haunting place, with ancient stones I stand face to face. Lady Moon, soul of silver light, the magic flows and walks me through the night, summoning me, setting me free, rekindling distant memories. Friends and guides all, then silence as they wait for my call. I brought a chant from an old book that the gates would open to me, but as I walk along this night, my own song I now weave. The gates already open to let me walk between. The magic is with me if I just believe.
Unity Radio Network. Thanks for sticking around. And now, back to the show.
And hello, we are back here at Spiritual Wellness Physical Health. And this evening, my guests are Marcy Munden. We are here talking about menopause. And I'm joined tonight as my co-host, Niv, filling in for Lisa. So I want to thank the ladies for being here. And before the break, we were discussing menopause and how sometimes it's looked upon by younger women with some trepidation and fear that they don't know what to expect. And Marcy, you know, Marcy's a nurse as well as a good healer inside the pagan community. And so she had said that during the break when we were speaking that she wanted to talk a little bit about signs, symptoms, and how to treat some of the symptoms with herbs and in a natural remedy way. So Marcy, do you want to Do you want to give us some information in that regard?
Sure. First, I'd like to say a wonderful reference is that book, Women's Bodies, Women's Wisdom by Christian Northrup.
Christian Northrup, yep.
Yep, that's a wonderful
reference book. I've given that copy to that
book
to every woman I know. I really think that should be required reading for all girls.
Yeah, it's, and I've got the copy still that you gave me.
Mm-hmm,
And also, I was doing a little research today and found a wonderful article on MotherEarthLiving.com,
mm-hmm.
and just put in the search bar menopause, and they've got some wonderful suggestions in there for many of the symptoms, the night sweats,
mm-hmm.
the hot flashes, the waning libido, vaginal dryness,
mm-hmm.
Lot of wonderful, wonderful suggestions in there. And I would, you know, propose to women in this stage of their life to do some research.
Mm-hmm.
Estrogen, the hormone replacement therapy,
mm-hmm.
Is not proven scientifically to be that beneficial in the long run. It may work initially. And I'm not saying that it won't work for anybody. I'm just
mm-hmm.
saying what I've read in science.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, they even stopped one long-term study that was doing hormone replacement therapy because they were not having good results. They were not doing well at all.
Yeah.
And I would suggest, you know, women research herbs and oils. Aromatherapy, herbs, and also one of the biggest things, too, that I think people miss, you know, there's a lot of structural issues as far as bone health, as far as bone strength. And one of the biggest things that's really going to help with that is exercise.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, the best exercise is one of the best exercises that I know of is just walking.
Yeah.
You know, walking, swimming.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, walking and swimming. You know, get some exercise because it not only is it going to contribute to your bone health and strength, also it's going to help regulate some of those symptoms.
Mm-hmm.
And it's also going to kick up your metabolism a little bit. And, you know, we do have a tendency to, you know, our weight loss and gain changes
uh-huh.
a lot when we're going through menopause.
Yeah. Yeah, last year I put on 30 pounds all right around the middle.
Yeah.
I do not have a waistline anymore.
Let me tell
you,
it goes on easy, but it's rough coming
mm-hmm.
off. So,
oh, yeah.
you know,
no
if, you can, if you can maintain a healthy weight and
mm-hmm.
and really keep your strength, it's going to help
mm-hmm.
you out in the long run.
Yeah.
You know,
sure.
And, you know, that along with diet, you know,
mm-hmm.
paying attention to what you're eating, you know, not
and
be a
mental
saint.
Health.
Yeah,
mental
you know,
health
and,
should be added in there as well.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, heck yeah. Yeah, because I find that, and it is part of my personality as well, but I need my solitude.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I, as a caregiver working in healthcare, I need my solitude. I need to just say, okay, the rest of the world's just got to stop right now. And I will close my door and I will do whatever I need to do. Sometimes, you know, if I get stressed at work, I will actually close my office door and do Tai Chi in my office,
mm-hmm.
you know, and it will get me back to my center.
Yeah.
That way I have a grip back onto why I'm there, why I do what I do, and it makes me better at what I do. If you
yeah.
do not take the time to take care of yourself, you cannot be an effective healer, caregiver, mother, grandmother,
mm-hmm.
wife, mate, whatever.
That's true.
You know,
yeah.
I don't care what anybody says. If you do not love yourself enough to take care of yourself, you're not going to be able to do all the wonderful things that you want to do.
True.
You know, and that's what we do. You know, we take care of others, but we have to take
yeah.
care of ourselves first.
Yeah, I want to go back just to one thing.
Uh-huh.
actually two things. The first one being the exercise. One of the things they have shown that is super important for women in particular and bone health is weight-bearing exercise, lifting weights,
yes.
doing something
yes.
to bear, you know, put weight on those bones so that they
mm-hmm.
do not feel, the bones don't say, well, we don't need the oldest calcium anymore. We don't have to lift anything heavy. We don't need to be as
right.
dense.
So, right.
you know, walking is excellent exercise, but you also have to couple that with doing some weight-bearing exercise. The
yeah.
other thing is...
Moving furniture stays in our life forever. Think about it. No, because even when we were, quote-unquote, in that childbearing time, we moved furniture. Yeah, I remember doing it pregnant. But
mm-hmm.
what you're doing is, plus two, is that excess energy that we have to do, you know,
mm-hmm.
nesting or whatever it is. But even now, I still move furniture. I may not do it as well,
mm.
but I slide it more, but okay, but I'm still pushing with every ounce of my body to get
mm.
that dresser moved,
mm-hmm.
to get
mm-hmm.
behind there. So it you can still maintain a lot of those exercises back when you were in that childbearing stage,
mm-hmm.
but you have to maintain it all the way through until, you know, your doctor says, okay, you're 95, you can't do that anymore. Watch
mm-hmm.
me, buddy. You know, but you have to keep doing something to
mm-hmm.
keep your muscles, your bones, your tendons. You
yeah.
got to keep that circulation going.
Mm-hmm.
My great-grandmother was 103 when she passed away, and she was moving beds and everything
mm-hmm.
else. Like, Graham, you can't do that. Yes, I can, too. Watch.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But you have to
yeah.
keep that attitude. You
yeah.
cannot allow your body to not do anything just because
right.
you're old.
Right. And the other thing is, you know, you touched on mental health and nutrition.
Mm-hmm.
And these two things cannot be separated. I'll tell you a story. A good friend of mine going through menopause, and this was a few years ago, is, you know, she's basically telling me, I feel like I'm depressed, but I don't really have anything to be depressed about. And I said, well, you know, you're going through some menopause, your body chemistry changes. Do you take a multivitamin every day? No. Well, you know, your B vitamins start to wane, and, you know, you should be taking omega-3s and you should be taking vitamin D, and because we live in the northeast of the United States and nobody up here gets enough vitamin D. And you know, you need to be upping your iron and your B vitamins. And then she started taking the vitamins and called me back like 2 weeks later and was like, oh, my gosh, I feel like a new person. My doctor was ready to give me, you know, antidepressants. But I feel great now, and I can't believe just taking a multivitamin and a couple of supplements made this big a difference. So
mm-hmm.
you really have to watch your diet, you know, as
yeah.
going through menopause and afterward to make sure that you're getting all the nutrients that you need.
Right.
The best way to get calcium, and people are going to look at me initially when I tell them this and be like, what? The best way to get calcium is to eat dark green leafy vegetables, spinach,
yep.
kale, eat them every day,
mm-hmm.
and eat them raw, because a cupful of spinach...
You cook them to death.
yeah, no, you don't cook them to death. A cupful of spinach raw has more calcium in it than a cup of milk. And the reason... it's fact. The reason that... it's so important to eat the greens is because it's coupled innately, you know, it occurs naturally in the greens with magnesium. And you cannot absorb calcium without magnesium. So you can take all the calcium
right.
supplements you want, but if your body is lacking magnesium, you're not going to absorb it. It's going to pass
right
through.
Mm-hmm.
So if you can get those dark leafy greens every day, and this is something, this is like one of those things the doctors don't tell you. They just tell you, oh, get your calcium. But they don't tell you how to get your calcium. That is one of the most important things that you can do for yourself is eat your dark leafy greens every day. Now, I'm going to probably, there will be people out there who are like, well, I'm on blood thinners, and my doctor tells me I'm not allowed to have dark leafy greens because of the vitamin K in them and the blood clotting factor and blah, blah, blah. Fine. Go talk to your doctor and find out how he wants you to get it. But you've got to make sure you get your magnesium with your calcium.
Mm-hmm.
And there are so many. Or there's no absorption rate at all.
Yep. And there are so many supplements that, you know, you can take that unless you're taking something else, your body's not going to absorb it. Vitamin C is also very important in regard to the absorption of calcium. So it's not just calcium. You've got to make sure you're getting this balance going on. And that's why it's better in so many ways to eat it in your diet and eat it so that it, you know, gets into your system the right way with the right combination of other vitamins and minerals to support the absorption of say calcium and other things than just taking supplements all the time. Plus, you never know what's in those supplements. I mean, they do testing all the time and find out, you know, a supplement says it's got, you know, 500 units of whatever, and it's really only like 100.
Robin?
Yes.
Robin, can for people that haven't tuned into the show before, perchance, make sure you give your credentials.
Oh, yeah. For anybody who does not know.
I would rather do that.
Yeah, I'm a holistic certified health coach, and I have studied nutrition. And that's where I'm getting this information from. I graduated from the Institute of Integrative Nutrition in Manhattan in 2013. So I'm not just, you know, I didn't just read an article. Okay. Oh, look, there's an article on the internet. This is why people who do what I do, who are health coaches, it's so important for people to reach out and find out how is the best way for me to do this? Because all too frequently, doctors don't have the time. They know all this stuff, but they don't have the time to sit with you and say, you know, get your calcium and here's how to do it. Because it's going to take them time to educate people like that. And I really don't understand, honestly, why more physicians have not embraced the powerful tool of health coaches in their offices to say, you know what, Mrs. Jones, you know, you're just being diagnosed with diabetes and you're menopausal, and so I'm going to schedule you for half an hour with our health coach so that she can educate you about this stuff and you can learn. And they don't just hand them a piece of paper and say, here, this is the stuff you need to do.
Right.
You know, I know as a patient, you leave the doctor's office with, like, a paper filled with shit you're supposed to do, and you're like, how am I going to do this? I don't understand. And if you're not the kind of person who's going to go home and do that research and find out for yourself, you know, what better tool than to have somebody in your office as a physician to say, you know, go talk to this person. But, you know, I guess maybe in time I can help. There are more and more health coaches out there in the workplace every day. And at some point, I think like supermarkets, you know, people who want to eat in a more healthy way, and supermarkets are selling all these foods now, the organics and gluten-free and all this other stuff. It would be really great if a supermarket had somebody you could go ask questions of. A physician's office, daycare centers with children, so that if, you know, a mom comes and says, hey, my kid was just diagnosed with ADHD, you can say, well, you know what, you know, these are some things that have been found to help that. Why don't you try this nutritionally at home?
Right.
Everything is so related to diet. And, you know, here you are, a menopausal woman, you go to your doctor, and what do they want to give you? They want to give you diet supplements or antidepressants or, you know, everything except what you really should have, which is some education about what to eat. You know?
Right. What to eat and how to handle all of it. Well, that's why it's so important to converse with other women that are of like mind.
Yeah.
You know, compare notes. You know, what's working for you? Oh, really? Oh, yeah, maybe I'll try that. Okay. You know, it's, you know, being around like-minded individuals, you know, and that gives us the tools to pass on that information for women that are done raising their kids and coming into menopause. You know?
And Marcy, we kind of got off track, and I apologize. It was my fault.
No worries.
I went on a tangent.
No worries.
You had talked about some herbal remedies that might be helpful.
Black cohosh is one of the big ones.
One of the
Vitek,
better ones,
red raspberry,
evening primrose. I used quite a bit myself.
soy, if you can tolerate soy products, the isoflavones in soy are wonderful for menopause. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that I've use on occasion as far as the vaginal dryness is honestly coconut oil.
Yeah.
Just coconut oil, internal, external, you know, mm-hmm. it's just one of the greatest things.
Yeah, and it's pretty inert. It's not going to hurt you. It has a lot of health benefits.
Yeah, yeah.
And evening primrose is sort of a relaxant, if you will.
Right.
It's for, you know, to calm people down. Another great one would be chamomile, which I, mm-hmm. you know, I always say to everybody, if you've got chamomile and peppermint and ginger tea in your cupboard, you can treat almost anything.
It's true. And the American ginseng too.
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah, I forgot about that. Yeah, that's a good.
Yeah,
one.
Ginseng's another one. It's an adaptogen, and it really works well with any other herbs that you're taking.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, as with anything else, you know, you need to make sure that you do some research and make sure that it's not going to interfere with
any medications that you may be taking.
If you're on Rx prescriptions, plus too, you can always go, you know, call up Robin. People like Robin. They're
mm-hmm.
they know what they're talking about. You know, have done the studies. Call a dietitian that's registered with the hospital. Call somebody
mm-hmm.
that can help you
yeah.
so you don't over-medicate.
Yeah.
I see
right.
that, too.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, one of the things that is sort of changing is physicians and pharmacists are becoming more and more aware of natural supplements that people are taking more frequently.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly
mm-hmm.
St. John's wort is one of those that
right.
that physicians have become more aware of over the last 10 years.
Right.
You know, people are taking that instead of antidepressants.
Right.
But I really think that yeah. But you know, even before you stretch out and start taking herbal supplements, you should evaluate your diet to make sure that you're
yes.
getting all your nutrients, your necessary
yeah.
nutrients and minerals
yes.
in balance. And once
yeah.
you've established that yes, I am eating a healthy, well, good for me diet, and I'm still feeling this lack, then yes, you know, absolutely take
mm-hmm.
supplements. But the idea
mm-hmm.
is to not use supplements as a way of replacing good nutrition. And,
right.
and I think
yeah.
that has been the push over the last 5 to 7 years. You know, I know people who eat crap and then just take vitamins and think that's going to be okay.
No.
It's going to make it okay.
No, no. And, you know, also one of the things that I would suggest to people, to women going through menopause, if you're able, and if your doctor's not cooperating with you on a level that you desire,
mm-hmm.
if you're able, change your damn doctor.
Absolutely.
Right.
You know what I mean? A lot of people get so stuck with, well, this is the doctor I've always gone to, and da-da-da-da. You know what? No. I'm sorry. You're the consumer. You have the power. There's
mm-hmm.
find a different one. If
mm-hmm.
you're not happy with how you're interacting with your doctor, you know, if he's not answering your questions and blowing you off in and out in 5 minutes, you know what? Find a different damn doctor.
Yeah, you know, they did a study a few years ago that you have about 10 seconds before your doctor will interrupt whatever it is that you're saying to them, because they only have about 8 minutes to see a patient. So unless you're saying something truly, unless you're saying something truly important, your doctor's going to interrupt you and he's not going to hear what you have to say, which is a whole another reason why I think that health coaches are being underutilized in physicians'
right.
offices.
Yeah.
But
yeah, I mean, I'm thoroughly impressed with my mother's doctor. Is just fabulous. He's a younger guy. He teaches at the university, and from day one, he has answered every question that she or I have had.
Mm-hmm.
And he
Good.
Takes his time with us.
Yeah.
And I wish we could clone him.
yeah. Yeah. And that is a rarity. It truly is.
Yeah.
A lot of doctors don't have the luxury to do that anymore. They've got four patients scheduled every 10 minutes is essentially what it comes down to for most doctor's offices. And it's, you know, and all it takes is one patient having a real complicated thing and all of a sudden the rest of his day is behind. The one thing I do want to touch on before we go, because it is getting a little after our time here, is ritual and things we can do to honor the change, you know, from the childbearing years into menopause to make people not fear it so much. And you ladies have any suggestions in that regard?
My biggest thing is just connect with other females in your community, pagan or not. Just connect with other females.
Female support.
You know, yeah, that mm-hmm. support. You know, being able to share stories and mm-hmm. just to let your hair down and talk about the nitty gritty stuff. I'm telling you, it does a world of good for the soul.
Mm-hmm. It's true. That's very true.
It truly does, because we had, like I said, I just came back from FPG, mm-hmm. and it was, we've got, we had, let me see, me, Mel, Danella, there were four or five of us that are in those menopausal years.
Mm-hmm.
And let me tell you, we just let our hair down. Not that I have a problem ever doing that, but, you know, we really just, let our
but
hair down
to.
And we just and I
let
mean we were
on,
just
girl.
We were walking down the road just singing a song and having a drink and just hugging each other and
mm-hmm.
just skipping around the whole place and, you know, dancing around in the rain naked and
mm-hmm.
it was so good for us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just that
it's
connection.
It's probably good for your partners as well.
Well, I don't have one of those right now, but it was good for me,
mm-hmm.
you know, and it was wonderful.
Well, not necessarily your partner
that,
as in your SO or anything. I'm talking about your partner, the people that you live with, the people who you associate with every day. You have to let your quote-unquote hair down and let it go and, you know, cry with your girlfriends, hang on your shoulders, laugh, cut up, and be something that you quote-unquote wouldn't necessarily be all the time.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we all wear these masks anyway. So
I mean,
go ahead
and color your hair purple.
Your hair down.
Yeah, everybody's got to get their panties unbunched every once in a while.
Oh, heck yeah.
You're right.
Yeah. And just, I think that's my biggest suggestion as far as the spirituality of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, find whatever little rituals please you and understand that, you know, you've gotten through a lot of hard stuff, you know, raising kids and probably being a mate, you know.
Mm-hmm.
There's some relaxation time that's deserved now.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
It's me time.
It's okay
it
to
really
sit
is.
Back and it's okay to sit back and just relax and you know, bark orders at other people.
That's what I have for
you. You have
for.
Now earned your crown. You can do that now.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. And you know, and we do here in the community in our pagan community have a croning ritual available to us if we want to utilize it. And I think that it's underutilized in the community. I honestly think that every large pagan event should probably include a croning ritual for all the crones who are there every time you go, for women to get together and celebrate that. And also, you know, and across the board, do the same thing for men. Have a saging ritual mm-hmm. for the older men.
I was just present at one. So, yes, it's important to them as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because we need to start changing perception in this country about people once they reach a certain numeral, numeric age. that they've lost value. They have not lost value. If anything, you know, one of the things I tell people all the time, I have been so lucky in my life, first of all, to have really great friends. I don't know what I did in a past life that I was so blessed with really great friends in this life, because I don't, honestly don't know what I would have done at certain points in my life without them. And the other thing I've been really blessed with is mentors, women who were older than me, wiser than me, who when I went to them and said, oh, my God, I'm freaking out, they said, it's okay. This is what I went through. If I went through this, you can go through what you're going through and survive and come out the other end.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they didn't always necessarily give me advice, but what they gave me was support. What they gave me was the knowledge that a million women have gone through shit like this before. A million
right.
women are going to go after shit like this after you, and we're all connected.
You're not the only one.
Exactly.
Yep.
And I tell the story all the time. And Marcy, you know, you're here, but I tell the story all the time on the air about the power that I felt giving birth to my daughter. You know, my husband was there, but the thing that was more important to me in that moment where I was giving birth to my daughter was that there was a woman who I was really close to, Marcy, who was holding my one hand, who I knew had given birth to four kids. And if she could do it, damn well I could do it. And all these other women in the world who had done it before me, and I really literally reached out from my body out to that great cosmic stream. And this is stuff that I was visualizing while I was going through the birthing process. And I had no drugs. It was completely natural. And I could see this visual stream of energy of all these women who'd done this before. And I really visually reached out to touch that stream. And I had a wonderful birth experience because I had the tools, the emotional, the social support. I had the tools to find that stream, to find that consciousness, tap into it, use it in a constructive manner through the birth process. And it was a beautiful thing. I would do it again tomorrow if I could. I mean, I just it was just awesome.
And girlfriend.
oh, you know, just, but, and
maybe
I don't,
one side, Marcy.
I'm not saddened by the fact that I can't do it anymore, but yet still I celebrate it with other women who,
sure.
wow, you know, you can really still do this, and you can tap into this. Every time I find, encounter somebody who's pregnant, and I have a few moments to talk to them, I tell them about that story because it's there. That energy is there for all of us. And we
yeah.
have to know that it's also there for us as we go through menopause. A million
right.
women have
Absolutely.
Done it before us. A million women will do it after us. We should draw strength from that. And
heck yeah.
And absolutely, you know, celebrate it and enjoy it and bring it inside.
Mm-hmm.
I agree.
Right on.
I agree.
Right on.
So on that note, does anybody have anything they'd like to say in closing, anything that they want to touch on before we say goodnight?
Niv?
Well, the only thing, I'll say something real quick. I think that our mental health and our physical health have to be in order so we can mm-hmm. accept what's going on with us and
mm-hmm.
so our partners can understand a little bit. Don't leave them
mm-hmm.
in the dark either.
Mm-hmm.
If they don't understand, then we should be able to gather some information and go, here, honey,
mm-hmm.
this is what's going on
mm-hmm.
with me, and yes, I'll turn into the foreheads. So just in case,
mm-hmm.
you know, and this, and here's why I'm going through this. So
yeah.
keep the information going, not just to your
mm-hmm.
partner, but to everybody in your
sure.
entire family.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. I'd agree with that. Wow. I don't know. I think it's just really, really connect with other women that are going through it. I just,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's you know, you were talking about birthing Perry, you know, and me being there. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, I just, you know, when I get time with you and we're able to just talk about everything and
mm-hmm.
just spend time together, it just, it fortifies my soul. You know, it makes
too.
My heart feel more full. it makes me feel like I'm not this screwed up individual that I feel like at times, you know.
With a million miles away, yeah.
You know, I mean, seriously.
You just reconnect.
You know. Yeah. It,
you guys,
just,
and I've seen it at the hand fasting. I watched it, and it was like, look at that ball of energy. You know?
Yeah.
And you can
yeah,
see it.
I mean,
you can feel it.
Yeah, it's yeah. And I guess the other thing, too, is make time for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, love yourself, nurture yourself, because that also gives permission to the other people in your life to do the same.
Yeah.
You
yeah.
know, not just to nurture you, but you lead by example.
Mm-hmm.
You
right.
know,
absolutely.
You know, you said something before about passing the knowledge on to the younger generation.
Yeah.
And honestly, you know, you can talk till your eyes turn purple. You know, unless they see you doing what you're saying, it ain't going to make no damn difference.
That's very true.
You know, lead by
get
example.
Jackie on the recording so we can get this information and we can pass it down to the next generations.
Yeah.
I'm serious.
Yeah. I'm
this
working
would be
on
absolutely wonderful.
Yeah.
Embrace the crone.
Yep, absolutely. Okay, with that, I'm going to say goodnight to you guys, and I'm going to say if anybody needs to get in touch with me, they can reach me at Spiritual Wellness Physical Health Facebook page. They can also send me email directly at littlestonebridge@gmail.com or the Little Stone Bridge Pathworkings page on Facebook. If you were interested in having myself or Terry come to do workshops or do educational material for anything, there's a whole host of things that we do. We do couples communications. We do, you know, I can do nutritional things. The whole host of workshops that we do. So you can reach us at that email, littlestonebridge@gmail.com for that.
Mm-hmm.
You can also
wonderful.
Reach us. Yep, you can also reach us at the radio station if you have any questions or comments about the radio and the content. You can cern.org@gmail.com. And let's see. There's also the Spiritual Unity Radio Network page on Facebook. So you can reach us at many different ways. Or you can just look me up, you know, Robin A. McKean on Facebook, and that's my Facebook page. But probably the best way to reach me is that Little Stonebridge Pathworkings page or the Spiritual Wellness Physical Health Facebook page on Facebook.
Awesome.
And I'd like to thank you ladies for coming this evening. Marcy, it was awesome talking to you. And it's always wonderful. And as I really meant what I said about being, I've just been so blessed in my life with such good friends. I've got Marcy, Niv, who's been such a good friend to me over the years, Lee, who is always there for me. And I honestly don't know what I did to deserve such wonderful women in my life. But gosh, I'm so blessed by that. And I thank the goddess every day.
We're blessed to have you, honey.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah.
Thank the goddess every day for having such good women in my life. And if there are any women out there and they're listening and you are not engaged with other women in your community and you don't know how to make friends, reach out to me at that Little Stonebridge Pathworkings Facebook page or on the Spiritual Wellness, and I will point you in the right direction. I will give you a push and let you know how you can reach out in a way that's going to be good for you. So the last thing in the world I want to do is hear that, you know, hey, I'm so isolated. And one of the great things about these radio shows and about having the rituals on the radio that we do is that it gives people an outlet who maybe can't get out of the house. And that's kind of why we do this. And I always think of our listeners at home, you know, maybe there are women sitting around their radio, their telephone or their computer on the radio, you know, listening like they're one of the friends, one of the gang. And I actually wish more people called in to talk. I think people get intimidated by it, but the more the merrier. Also, I'm being reminded that we are doing dark moon ritual tomorrow night here on the station. So you can tune
I might actually be able to make that.
Oh, cool. That'd be awesome.
Yeah.
My favorite.
Yeah. Yeah, talk about,
put
talk about croning, you know. It's the perfect time to consider that tomorrow night's dark moon. So 10 o'clock, same place, same bat channel, tomorrow night on Terry's show. We'll
okay.
be doing dark
thanks
moon
for
ritual.
Having me.
Thanks for agreeing to do the show tonight. I appreciate it. Ladies, Niv, thanks for filling in for Lee. You guys are awesome. And I love you guys. And as I always, spread the love. Have a good night.
Good night.
Good
night.
Thanks for listening to the Spiritual Unity Radio Network. Join us 7 nights a week for exciting programming covering a variety of expressions of faith. And remember, all manifestations of the divine are equally valid.